Our scripture lesson this evening is found in the second epistle to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with the sixth verse. May we hear the word of our God. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And may God speak to us this day through this his holy word. May his name evermore be praised. Amen. As we continue in the real meaning of the zodiac, we come today to the final four books, the third quaternary of the zodiac. And I'll just review that the first four books dealt with the coming of Christ and his battle with Satan, his suffering and death. It is the picture of the suffering Savior, the seed of the woman. The middle four books, which you may recall are bracketed by pictures of a lamb or ram, are the story of the church redeemed by Christ, the church in its condition where we saw it chained and desolate, and then when we saw it enthroned and glorious as in Cassiopeia. And now we come to the final four books, which are the story of the consummation of all things, of the coming of Christ in judgment, of the great assize, of the gathering together of his own unto eternal salvation and the fiery destruction of the wicked. It is the great culmination of the ages which is now before us. And that, you will note, if you have your planisphere or your zodiac in front of you, is described in the great constellation of Taurus, which is almost at the very top, 12 o'clock, on your chart. This picture of Taurus, the bull, which has that meaning, by the way, in virtually every language in which it is known, is a picture of a great beast, a bull or ox with his head lowered and his horns pointed forward. He is untamable and irresistible. He is charging forth, rampaging, raging, head down, and bringing destruction to all that are in his way. It is a picture of the coming destruction of the wicked as Christ comes forth in his judgment. You will notice that the Taurus is only the front half of the bull, that actually it grows right out of Aries, the lamb. So here we see a picture of the lamb changing into the bull. As before, you may recall, we saw Capricornus changing into the fish, giving birth to the fish, the church of Christ, the slain lamb giving birth to the people of God. Now here we see the lamb now giving rise to the Christ coming in great glory and in judgment. The chief star in Taurus is the star Aldebaran, and it is right in the bull's eye, which has given rise to some common sayings. And this star in Arabic means the captain or the leader or the governor. And now Christ, who is the captain of the well-fought fight, is coming forth in judgment. You will notice that this is, as I said, in the position of 12 o'clock high on the chart. At the very bottom, you'll see at 6 o'clock at the southern end is the great constellation of Scorpio, the scorpion, a picture of Satan. And you may well remember that, as we saw there, Satan, who is engaged in striking the left foot of Ophiuchus, the great hero above him, and being crushed with his right foot, who is at the bottom of the chart. And when Taurus rises, then Scorpio sinks beneath the horizon and seems to disappear. And so when Christ rises in his judgment, then Scorpio, the serpent, that old serpent or dragon, the devil, will disappear down into the bottomless pit. We are told in the scripture, "Behold, the day of the Lord," says Isaiah 13, "it cometh, and it cometh with cruel wrath and fierce anger, and every one that is found shall be thrust through." And that is a picture of what is taking place there. There is another interesting scripture that I would call your attention to. It's found in Isaiah chapter 34. You'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 34. We have something that you might find interesting about this particular passage and which may clear up something of a mystery for you. In that 34th chapter, we see a picture of the coming judgment. In the second verse it says, "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them and delivered them to the slaughter." And here is a picture of the Lord coming in judgment. And in the seventh verse it says, "And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness." If you read your Bible through, you have no doubt come across the term unicorn a number of times. Now, the unicorn, as you know, is a fabled one-horned animal. But that is not what the Hebrew scripture says. That was what some translators used to translate the word. But the Hebrew word is the word reem. And for a long time, it was not known exactly what that meant, and so the translators chose the word unicorn, and the term frequently appears in the scripture. But it is not really a unicorn. It has, in recent times, been cleared up, and it has been discovered that what is really being talked about is an extinct wild ox. Though no longer alive in our day, it was around as recently as the time of Caesar. In fact, Julius Caesar, in the account of his wars, describes it as being hunted in the Hercynian mountains and forests in his own day. It was a formidable creature, quote, "scarcely less than an elephant in size, but in nature, color, and form, a true ox." Remnants of this giant ox have been discovered in northern Palestine in recent times. And so this is not a one-horned, but a two-horned, in fact, two very large-horned animal, an ox almost the size of an elephant, extremely dangerous and fierce, which was quite willing to attack men if ever they came into his sight. So this is a picture of what is being discussed here. We see further reference to this in the book of Job, in the 39th chapter of Job. There is another interesting reference. In Job 39, verse 9, we read this, "Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Will this huge wild ox be willing to serve thee? Canst thou bind the unicorn or the wild ox? And by the way, in some recent translations, this is translated as wild ox or bull. With his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Are you able to make this fearsome creature to serve thee? Can you use it to harrow the valleys? Can you indeed domesticate it and use it for plowing the fields? And the answer, of course, to that is no, they cannot. It is completely untamable and ferocious beyond the ability of man to restrain it. This is what Taurus is, this ancient and huge wild ox or bull. And it is a very fitting picture of Christ coming into judgment. In Greek mythology, Taurus, this wild bull, was a form that was assumed by Jupiter for the purpose of carrying his loved one, the beautiful Europa, across the seas to the island of Crete. And afterward, he became angry at the injustices that had been done toward him, and with great anger he wreaked havoc upon his enemies. And so Christ has taken his bride upon him and has delivered it safely, ultimately, to heaven, and then now turns in anger and judgment upon his enemies, as we read in Thessalonians today, when he shall come to destroy the wicked. Another interesting thing, which is not part of this particular constellation, but is contained in it, are the famous Pleiades, the seven sisters, one of the most beautiful little constellations in the heaven, and they are found riding high up on the shoulder of Taurus. And they are a beautiful picture of the Church of Christ riding safely upon the great bull Taurus, being carried safely by him into heaven. The seven sisters upon the constellation Taurus. Which brings us to the first decan of the three sub-points contained in this particular house of Taurus, and the first one is Orion. And Orion has always been my favorite constellation. I suppose it's because it was one of the first ones as a child that I was able to identify. And it is indeed a very impressive constellation. I suppose everyone here has seen in the far north the constellation Orion. You can see it any evening by going out in your yard. You see, of course, the diagonal belt of three bright stars, and then the two stars at the shoulders and in the legs, and the belt across the middle. You're hardly able to miss it. It's one of the most magnificent of all of the constellations of heaven. Orion, which means the brilliant, or the swift, or he that cometh forth as light. In Hebrew, the word is chasil, which means a strong one, or a hero. And you'll notice from the picture that he is a mighty hunter. He has upraised in his hand a club, and in his left hand he has the skin of a lion, which he has slain. Now, there have been many who have liked to claim that this is a picture of themselves, but it is, of course, a picture of the greatest hunter, and that is Christ himself, who is the great one. In mythology, Orion was a gift from the gods to mankind, born of a woman, given by the gods, who was the greatest hunter that ever lived, who went forth to slay all of the wild beasts. He also was the one that created the great cavern for the gods of fire, we're told as well, and slew a mighty lion. Now we know the Bible describes Satan as a lion which goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And again, here we see the picture of the lion's skin with the head of the lion still attached to the skin, which he's holding up in his left hand. And we're reminded again of the text from which all of this flows originally, the proto-evangelium, the first gospel or first evangel of Genesis 3:15, where it says that the seed of the woman would destroy the seed of the serpent. Here again, another picture of Satan, who is seen as Cetus, the sea monster, as the scorpion, as the fleeing serpent, as the great dragon, Draco, and many other ways here in this starry picture. And so Christ, the protagonist, and Satan, the antagonist, are constantly portrayed in different sorts of ways in the starry skies above. And here again, Christ is the great conqueror of Satan. The constellation Orion is mentioned three times in the scripture, twice in Job and once in the book of Amos, and is a famous constellation from the very beginning of time. He has also, as we mentioned, this bright belt or girdle about him in which there is attached a sword. And it's an interesting thing about the sword that if you look at the handle of the sword, at the very top of the handle, there is the figure of the head of a lamb. Again, the connection between Orion, the great hunter, reminding us that he is also the lamb that was slain. Now he is going forth in judgment and conquest. At one time before, we are to keep in mind he was the gentle lamb that gave himself up to the slaughter. There are some interesting stars in the constellation Orion. In the right shoulder is the star Betelgeuse, which is a first magnitude star and is, I believe, the largest star known in all of the heavens. It is enormous in size. I would remind you that the Earth is almost 8,000 miles in diameter, and the Sun, our Sun, is 865,000 miles in diameter. To give you some idea of the relative size of the Earth and the Sun, but the star Betelgeuse is not 865,000 miles in diameter, but rather it is 250 million miles in diameter, of enormous size. You may recall that the Earth is about 93 million miles from the Sun, which means that if the star Betelgeuse were sitting where the Sun is, that the Earth, in its entire orbit around the Sun, would be inside of the star Betelgeuse. Since the diameter of our orbit is less than 200 million miles, and the diameter of Betelgeuse is 250 million miles, and that great star is in the right shoulder of the arm that holds the club that slays the lion, Satan. We indeed have a formidable hero in Christ. Another famous star is the star Rigel, which is found in the foot of Orion, and it means the foot that crusheth. And again, we are taken back to the picture in Genesis that the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And that foot again is seen ready to crush the enemy beneath. In the belt, there are those three famous stars that are easily detected. And by the way, as that belt slants upward, if you follow them up, you will come to Aldebaran, the bright star in the eye of Taurus. So it's easy to find in the starry skies. And if you go in the other direction, you will come to the star Sirius, which is the brightest star in all of the heavens, outside of this constellation, but not far away, about equidistant to the distance to Aldebaran. And in the belt, these three stars are called the Three Kings, reminiscent of the three kings of Orient that came to the birth of the Son of God. And in the other shoulder of Orion is the star Bellatrix. Betelgeuse and Bellatrix are the two stars at his shoulders, and that one means quickly coming or swiftly destroying. And Christ is the one who quickly comes and swiftly destroys his enemies, particularly Satan. And in the left leg, there is another star, the star Saiph, S-A-I-P-H, which means bruised. And this is exactly the same word that is used in Genesis 3:15, where we are told that the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. So again, the picture is inescapable that in spite of all of the mythology and distortion and perversion, the ancient picture given by God in the beginning still shines through all of the distortions of the mythology. That brings us to the second of the decans of Taurus, which you will find on your chart, is Eridanus, the river. It is a fiery river that flows out of the foot of Orion, goes past Cetus, the sea monster, and disappears into the outer darkness. It is a fiery river. In Greek mythology, it was a fiery river which threatened to burn up the world. Well, now you say, what does that have to do with the scripture? Well, turn with me to the book of Daniel, if you will. The end of your major prophets in the 7th chapter of Daniel and in the 9th verse. I trust you're familiar enough that you will remember some of these allusions. Daniel 7, verse 9. Again, a picture of judgment, which is what this entire house of Taurus is about. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were open. Here we see this fiery stream which issues forth from the judge who comes forth to sit in judgment. The same sort of picture is seen in the Psalms, in the 97th Psalm. If you'll turn back to Psalm 97, you see another reference to the same sort of thing. In 97, verse 1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. So this is that picture of fire which comes forth from the Lord. And in the minor prophets, in the book of Nahum, there is a further reference to the same sort of judgment coming forth from the throne of God. In the first chapter of Nahum, the 6th verse, it says, who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. His fury is poured out like fire. And here we have a fiery stream. In many of the pictures of the zodiac, this stream, Eridanus, is shown with fire arising from it all along the way. And you'll know that it reaches over and touches Cetus, the sea monster, a picture of the fact that Satan is one who is destroyed, and then it descends into outer darkness, into the lake of fire, if you will, which is the picture of final judgment and the picture that is seen in the last book of the scripture. So here we see the darker side of the judgment coming of Christ, coming to exercise wrath and anger upon his enemies. And indeed, it is a bleak and desolate picture, one of fierce anger and cruel wrath, one of fiery indignation and the destruction of all of the wicked. As our text said, that when Christ shall come and in fiery judgment destroy all of those who obey not God and believe not the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But there is a bright light in the stars, and that is the final decan of this house of Taurus, which is the constellation Auriga. And you will find that right close by if you look carefully. And you will see there it is a picture of a man seated, and he is actually seated upon the Milky Way. He is the charioteer, the one who is driven a chariot, but also he is called a shepherd. And he is a picture of the Good Shepherd. And he has in his hand the band, but the band, the same band that was connected to the fishes, Pisces. But now that band is no longer connected. He has that in his right hand, but in his left hand he has a goat or lamb in his arm. And in his hand there are two baby goats which have just recently been born that are in his hand. And the goat or the lamb, as it were, has his paws around the neck of Auriga. And here is a picture of the chief shepherd who shall come and gather together his own. And we have a beautiful picture of both the adult and the children gathered together into the arms of the shepherd. This is described in Isaiah chapter 40 in a very beautiful passage, which you may turn to if you wish. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10, and there we read the following. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Again, you see, this is a picture of the Lord coming in judgment. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. And here he has his flock in his arm, as well as the young of the flock with them. It's interesting that this goat or sheep, though holding on to the neck of the shepherd with its paws, has his head turned toward Taurus. I think that's an interesting thing. And also, one of the ewes is turned away from the mother and is looking at Taurus as well. Reminds us that in that day it shall be a great astonishment, and we shall also be filled with amazement and wonder when we see Christ, who shall come in judgment and vengeance upon the world. And we shall indeed be thankful that we have fled for refuge and are now safe in the arms of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. In this constellation, there is a very bright star. In fact, it is the fifth brightest star in all of the heavens. It is the star Capella, and it's right at the heart of this goat or lamb that is in the arms of the shepherd. In the zodiac of Dendera, the most ancient of zodiacs found in Egypt, which I've mentioned before, in the temple of Dendera, there is a slight variation on Auriga. In his right hand is not the bands formerly connected to the lambs or to the fishes, but rather there is a scepter. And in the upper part of that scepter, at the top of it, there is the head and shape of a lamb. And the lower part of the scepter is shaped like a cross. And this is a zodiac that was formed even before Christ was born. And it is a beautiful picture that in the midst of the fiery judgment and indignation, the outpouring of his wrath upon the wicked, the coming in judgment to thrust through the unbelievers, the rising up of the wrath of the Lamb in the great fury of the bull Taurus, the wild ox coming in judgment and destruction upon unbelievers, we see that Christians are safe in the bosom of the Good Shepherd, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. How glorious is the picture, and how unmistakable is the truth which God would have us to know and to heed before the coming of that great day. May we pray. Father, we thank Thee for our glorious Savior, for His gentleness as a lamb, and for the fact of His power that He is able to destroy all of His and our enemies, and one day will come in great majesty and power and wrath. We pray, O God, that none of us may be outside of His grace in that day, that we may be wrapped in His arms and not standing before His horns. In Christ's name, amen.